Hello and thanks for joining us on the Blue Baggers podcast after what has been a lengthy spell on our behalf. I'm Chris and I'm joined in the new Bagger Garage by Andy Bagger. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks, Chris. How are you?
I'm pumped. Pumped to be back on the show.
Yeah, so we have had quite a lengthy hiatus since our last show, which is quite a few reasons for that.
We do have some valid reasons for that.
So a new arrival in the family for yourself, Chris, and also a big new move.
Yep, big move. We're no longer in the Blue Bagger basement. We are in the Blue Bagger garage.
So no longer underneath the house at your place, Chris. We're now in your garage. So we thought that it's pretty difficult to do a weekly episode like we have been doing in the past few years. We've been doing it for quite a couple of years now, Chris.
Yeah, we've toiled away for quite a long time with very similar results, and this year is a bit different and we've missed out on all the good games.
Of course, it was always going to be the case that we were going to struggle to manage a weekly podcast when we're actually doing well, but we're still very excited and we thought this is a really good chance to do a mid-season review. We're recording this on a Saturday afternoon, so let's forget about all the games that have been played today, the ladder position.
Yep.
As we stand before this round, we are 8-3 wins and we're sitting fifth on the ladder. Obviously, that has changed since Geelong's played and there's been a few other games today, but let's just put that out the back. We're just going from, like we're doing this
let's
on a Thursday night.
After round 11 rather than this false start round.
So 12.
It feels weird hearing you say we are 8-3.
8-3. We absolutely wouldn't have expected that. I think a lot of the, when the wins and losses have been discussed this year with Carlton supporters, I think it just comes really down to, if you had said at the end of last year that by the mid-season break would be 8-3, everyone would have taken that.
The most optimistic of supporters would have taken that one.
Absolutely.
And there were plenty of the more pessimistic
ones. The pessimists are taking it. I've heard my pessimistic friends, they would have been absolutely ecstatic with 8-3.
8-3, so that leaves us pretty much fifth place if we look at it after round 11.
Correct.
Thereabouts, yeah. Yep. And we were third in a game ahead. We dropped back after, obviously, the Collingwood loss. But, yeah, absolutely, we'll take that halfway through the year. 8-3 and a real shot of making the finals. We will discuss our run home shortly. Do you think that's a fair reflection of the season so far for us to be sitting fifth and 8 wins, 3 losses?
I think so. We've had some really good wins. We've had some heartbreaking losses.
Why don't you run through the game so far?
Yeah, right, we'll run through quickly the game. So without touching too much into them, obviously round one we played Richmond where we won
Broke
the hoodoo, won by 25 points. What a great game. Round two we beat the Bulldogs by 12 points. Round three we beat Hawthorn by a point. Round four, we get beaten by the Gold Coast Suns by 30 points away.
So 3-1 at that stage.
3-1 at that stage. We then beat Port by 3 points at the G. We then lose to Fremantle by 35 points, again away. We then come back strong. We beat North by 50 points. We beat Adelaide in Melbourne by 48 points the next round. We then beat GWS by 30 points. We then beat Sydney by 15 points again in Melbourne. And then last week, the heartbreaking loss, which would have been great to win by just that single point, but we lose to Collingwood by 4 points.
That's the disappointing blemish on the season so far, but it's a lot more tolerable or a lot easier to take.
9-2 obviously would sound a lot better, particularly over the arch enemy.
So that one does hurt, but we can take that.
We can take that.
It doesn't hurt as much as it did, and you look at 8-3. So do you think that's a fair reflection then? I mean, looking at those results, a couple of tight ones in there, no doubt.
I think that's a really fair reflection because, you know, we lost a game last week where we really could have won it with, you know, the Silvani snap. In saying that, and I'd hate to admit it, Collingwood were a better team for the day.
We probably didn't deserve to win it over the course of the day, but we very easily could have at the end.
We'll touch on this, but this just shows how good we are this year, that we can turn it on for 15 or 20 minutes and really put a team to the test that has been winning all day. Look, we've also won a couple of really close ones where, particularly Hawthorn and Port Adelaide, where we just got over the line. And I think, you know, you could argue that we really didn't deserve to be there at the end, but we will touch on this again. We're just putting in such big first quarter and first half efforts that we can actually afford to let the foot off a little bit and control those wins. So it's been really, really good from that point of view.
Yeah, it's certainly fascinating that way, and we have held on and we've won those close games. Obviously, Michael Voss and a new coaching department have come on board as well, and I just wonder where we'd be if we'd kept Teague, which obviously is a hypothetical and hasn't happened, wasn't going to happen, but whether we would have had the, you know, the resolve to win and to hold on to a couple of those tighter games, where, as you said, we know we're miles in front. We played scintillating footy. You know, some of the best football, you know, anybody under the age of probably 30, 25, any Carlton supporter was ever seen that way. So the fact that we were able to hold on, hang tough, two ways to look at that. You know, how can you give up leads like that? Or you go, you know, a lot of resolve when the tide's against you to actually hold out and win those games, those tight games. And look, yeah, perhaps it could
have
been a
flip side though, isn't it? Because you look at our list and it was, last year it was a good list. It was always going to mature. So you could argue that the team was naturally going to progress and take that final leap. However,
you could have argued that the year before.
Of course you could
have.
And the point that you just made is we are actually winning those tight games, and we're putting more onto the scoreboard early.
I'll throw it out there. We don't win those under Teague. If Teague was coaching, we just don't. We didn't have that resilience. We didn't have that resolve last year.
I think we're in a better position without Teague, yes. I think Voss... and the new coaching, there's been obviously a big overturn at Carlton. And
I think that's a fair understatement.
Yeah,
and
I think it's
Voss.
I think Voss has brought in exactly what we kind of were hoping for, and that's that steely resolve that he had on the field. Bringing in, you know, coaches like Hamill, very similar kind
of... A bit of mongrel. We were crying out for the last 2.5 years we've been crying out for. We were thinking more in the player base, but we've brought it in the coaching box.
Yeah, absolutely.
Different to what we were thinking, but I think it probably ends up having the same result.
At the end of the day, Teague lost the players, and I think that Voss really has the players. You hear all the players come out, they're huge raps on Voss and the coaching department, and I think they really want to win for him.
We'll get into the stats shortly because you are the stat man, and I think a lot of that will back it up in terms of playing that sort of harder brand of football. But we are an enigma, this Carlton team at the moment.
Yep.
Our best, I think, is top two, top three
in
the competition. I don't think there's anyone else that can match it with us at our best, but obviously our worst is still far lower than what we'd like. And, you know, it's very hard for all teams this year to have consistency over four quarters. We've seen that. We thought it was just a Carlton thing. It's not. It's an AFL-wide thing, but we have had some turns. And, you know, our bad football hasn't been great. We've really been able to just to hold on, guts it out, which is the difference. And, you know, that's a real positive. You can look at that as a real positive that they've hung on. They're playing for each other. They are playing. It's a different level of intensity. It's a different type of outfit and team that's actually out there.
And look, we, for the past couple of years doing this podcast, we've always said the big thing about Carlton is the consistency. We can play, in the last couple of years particularly, we've played really good football and then we let ourselves down. The difference this year, and I don't think it's a consistency issue, though in the last few rounds we've showed that we can be a bit more consistent, but the difference between years previous is we were playing good football and then putting the foot off the brake, or foot off the accelerator, I should say, and then this year we're playing great football, and when we take the foot off the accelerator, it's just harder for that opposition team to actually claw back, and we're holding on. So consistency, I think, still is a big key, even though I think we're getting better at that. But you're right, our top football, you're right, top three in the league. And I think it'll be really exciting to see when we play teams like Melbourne and Brisbane. Particularly, I think Brisbane, I think we've got at the Gabba, which is...
Pity we have to wait so long.
It is, but that will be the real test. And I think we match up well against particularly Melbourne. Not saying that we're a better side than Melbourne, I'm definitely not saying that, but I think it'll be really interesting to see how we go.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. Speaking of, we're looking at the games that we've played so far. What's the best win of the season for you? And in saying that, you know, when we were talking before, it's not without our challenges. We have had plenty of challenges this year. We'll go into our injuries, which is probably the number one challenge we've had to sort of, you know, overcome so far this year, and we'll have to for the rest of the year. But I mean, even like, we're the first club that had a coach out with, you know, COVID protocols, and we've seen a lot since then. But just
and the only team to lose a player with the COVID protocol.
That's exactly right, which leaves a fair gap in our team. So we have had some challenges. We have overcome those. So it hasn't been a year without challenges, and the fact that we've, you know, backed it up and we're 8-3 is pretty refreshing. Best win of the year for you?
I think it has to be Richmond.
Yep.
Opening. Voodoo. Oh, yeah. The opening game.
It sets the year round up, doesn't it?
It's great. It was great to beat Richmond. You know, we looked like we were about to be on the end of a typical, you know, round one loss, but we showed the resolve. We came back and we win by 25 points. I think that was the highlight. You know, I loved Sydney Carlton as well. I think that was a really good win.
So, yeah, it's the best win. That's what you.
I think Richmond down. Richmond's the best win. Though I do love a few of
as
the wins.
Kick the microphone.
Yes, all right. About North and Adelaide. I like the fact that we could finally give a team a decent belting, which yeah. I think is really important. But the highlight is Richmond. Yes,
it's interesting because when you're reading through the results, It had almost escaped me the fact that we'd won by 50 points, 48 points. I look at that percentage now and go, it's low. We've only sort of, you know, beaten teams by a little. But they're reasonable wins still. The North Melbourne one, well, most clubs are going to do that to them this year. But the Adelaide one, more impressive. I'm going to go a bit different to you. I agree with the Richmond one. I agree with Sydney. For me, I think the best win to date was the GWS win. And with the injuries we had out, it was just set up to be, and you know, our track record up in Sydney at the stadium.
Is that the first time we'd won?
I think it is the first time we've beaten them at home there. So just it looked like all the, you know, everything had lined up for a Carlton loss that way. And, you know, the injuries, and we came out and we beat them. We beat them by 30 points. And for me, that was sort of a defining win and a turning point because I didn't have confidence heading there. I thought that was going to be a loss.
And every single week we say this is one that we really need to win, but that GWS one really was one that we it was a real barometer. They're not an amazing team, but they're not a bad team, and they've always had the hoodoo over us. So you're right, that's a really important win, but beating Richmond round one, it doesn't get much better than that for me.
Voss and the new coaching panel and staff, how have you assessed them so far?
Well, it's pretty hard to assess them any way but great, because we're showing the results, and that's ultimately the only way that you can judge and you can assess the coaching panel. It's win and loss. I mean,
you can get a boost from a first year coach coming into the system. I mean, we kind of saw that with Teague ourselves anyway, when he was in temporarily
Collingwood as well, have done it this year.
A lot of the time that is the case, but the exciting thing for me is our brand of football has changed. I don't like using the word brand, but you know, our style of football, you know, how we're going about it is a lot different, and you can see the hallmarks of Voss. We've spent the last 2 years questioning what is sort of, you know, our product.
What are we trying to do?
What are we trying to achieve? We couldn't, you know, we watched pretty closely. We couldn't figure it out, couldn't work it out. It's very clear to see this year. The challenge of that will be that everybody knows what it is, and they'll be trying to counter it better.
So yeah. Should we go into some team stats? Because I think that really ties into what you're talking about with the coaching, and see if we can get some pretty common themes here with how we're tracking. So I'll go through some stats, which, again, as of prior to this round starting. So Carlton are number one in disposals in the competition, averaging 392.7. We're second in contested disposals. We're third in disposal efficiency. We're second in contested marks. We're third in turnovers, which means we're third is in, as in a good stat. We're 16th in turnovers, third in turnovers. We're number two in kicks. We're number two in handballs. And we're number one with bounces. So you can see that we're...
It's very clear. Contested football.
Yes.
Contested football. You don't have to be Einstein to work that out. It's winning at the coalface, winning the contest, winning those 50-50 contests, and getting yourself in a position to go forward. I mean, it is kind of hard to compare, like we said, what was our game style under Teague's regime. We don't know exactly. We know that we used to kick it a lot and we didn't handball it a lot. And, you know, we've covered that plenty of times in our shows. So that probably hasn't changed too much, except the handballs have definitely increased. If you're saying what would be second or third, I know we're leading disposals all kinds, but we were very much a kick-first team for the last couple of years. And then handballing was a second thought. And we'll remember all those hack-kick forwards. It was win ball, kick it forward. No real play, no real outside run, no work inside of handball.
The disparity between kicks and handballs are huge.
Yeah, yeah, and absolutely I think we would have been probably number one in the league for the difference between kicks and handballs. That's changed a little bit. We're kicking it, but the most pleasing part is we're kicking it and we're kicking it well. We're critical for the last 2 years because we had a very kick-heavy game and our efficiency was shit-ass.
So number two in marks in the league as well, which ties into that and... have to reiterate, third and turnover. So,
that suggests to me we're winning the ball and we're winning it well.
Third and disposal efficiency.
And then we are holding it. We're holding on to it and making sure. So if we've got those, we're that high with marking.
Yep.
We're being clever and cute and wanting to hold possession. Their disposal efficiency will pick up as well. So we're probably picking out targets, dare I say. You're actually kicking to a target who's taking a mark, your disposal efficiency increases your marks, which is the opposite of what we were doing previously, which is, see ball, get ball, kick ball forward.
And look, we've always said that we've got a talented list, so our disposal efficiency should have always been higher. So I think this year, being third in disposal efficiency just shows these players do... We've drafted some really talented players. And the fact that our disposal efficiency has been poor in previous years, we're always waiting to take that step. We've just taken that step. And I think that just ties in with all those stats. Do you want some ordinary stats?
Yeah, of course. You've got to balance it out.
We're 15th in tackles, which is... that's understandable considering
it makes sense. We're number one team for disposals.
Exactly right. We're 17th in hit-outs, only behind the Eagles. And again, that's to be expected, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, Mark Pittenette has been out of the team for, a lot of weeks now, and he will be as well. Tom De Koning's had to step up, which is probably not his, preferred role, almost full-time ruck. Pittenette doesn't win that many anyway. We've seen the stats earlier in the year when he was playing about hit-outs to advantage.
But Pittenette in brings that stat up.
Yeah, but exactly right. It does bring it up for sure, but he's not a prolific, tap ruckman as such in terms of... tap stats, efficiency, different stories. So, and then you drop him, you bring in Tom De Koning. That's to be expected. We kind of understand that. Good part is we're still winning a lot of those clearances.
Number 12 in marks inside 50. We're number 11 in intercept marks. We're 14th in rebound 50s, which is surprising considering we do have quite an arsenal on that back flank. And we'll talk about that first. I mean, are you surprised with 14th in rebound 50?
The rebound 51 sort of throws me a weird stat. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that
considering
stat.
Considering how Doherty and Saad have been playing this year, which we'll touch on later, that doesn't seem...
But, are they numbers? Are they percent? Like, it also depends on how much ball's coming in. It's not a stat to use.
And a team that's 8-3, you'd expect that we're obviously winning more games, therefore the ball's not...
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a fair kind of way to
challenge
that.
None of the other stats you presented there surprised me. We're obviously not going to be number one in all of them, but it does go to show, and we're talking about the stats we're leading there, that there is that real synergy, I think, between the game plan and the actual players we have and what we recruited for and utilising our strengths.
Yeah.
We do have some midfield bulls. That's a strength. So that's what we're going to play with. We are lacking a bit of class outside. We are lacking a bit of speed outside. So it does make sense that we're going to utilize our strengths as much as possible. And we have, and we're sitting in a pretty good position as a result. So we've talked about the team. We've talked about, a few players, which we'll get into furthermore. But Carlton's membership.
Huge.
Over 80,000 and game attendances. It's a special Carlton at the moment, isn't it?
And it's fair to say we've always been a really good with attendances and with memberships, considering we've had a very poor couple of decades. And you look at other clubs who we don't have to necessarily name, whose membership has almost tripled.
Melbourne.
Didn't say it. I didn't say it. But there are, this does happen. And look, there are a lot of people that are jumping on Carlton. That's always going to be the way. But the core supporters... I think we must be the best supporter base.
It's been building through the bad years.
Exactly.
And I don't know, for me, it's still a little bit early to have this. I've dreamt about this occasion where we bounce back as a football team, on the field, but we know what can come with that off the field, and it's happening. We're at that tipping point. I'm excited. I'm still a little held in because I think it will still go further and it will explode. But I know we were leading home game attendances, game attendances.
Yep.
Over 80,000 members.
Collingwood Carlton.
We've had 80,000. Yep. And the Carlton Richmond game. All of our home games have been very well supported, even the away games there. So it is very exciting to have that support and to see and to, again, feel a part of something and feel like we belong and, you know, see us waking up a little, you know.
And I think the thing about Carlton support is why we've always maintained such a good, you know, fan base and presence and membership is because we've had such success in the past that it's always seemed just around the corner, hasn't it?
Well, we've always spruiked. We've always spruiked it. Just wait until the performances come and see what happens off the field. Is that what we're seeing now, Andy?
We are now seeing it. But is it fair to say in 2008, 2009, all these years, you and I would say next year. Next year it'll happen.
Yeah, and that's been we're hopeless optimists.
Exactly.
That way.
So, and I think it's so that's the thing about Carlton. When you've got a successful club, historically a successful club, that jump is always around the corner. It's taken a long time, but I think everyone's expected it. We've got a great list. We've had the draft picks. We've drafted well. Let's.
If we do get the ultimate success, it won't just be the last couple of years. It'll be through membership that has grown since those dark days started, you know, 2003. I sort of switch off a little bit. When we, you know, won, we were delivered the wooden spoon for the first time in our proud history.
Mm-hmm.
The following year, we had record membership, and it built from there. So the fans, the members will really enjoy this ride and deserve the reward hopefully does come. All right, Andy, we move into what feels like an old section, and we haven't done it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Clip or clap.
Clip or clap.
We're going to change this up a little bit and have clip or clap and chat. Because we feel this might be the best way
to touch. Chat. Yep. Let's keep the chat to a minimum because we will touch on all these players, won't we?
Try my best, likewise.
Look, we'll just go through the list from numbers. We'll go numerically.
Yep.
Okay?
Sounds good to me.
So I'm going to start. Jack Silvani.
Clap. He's Mr. Versatile. We know what Jack brings. We know he's in our best 22. He's not probably not through talent on its own, but through everything else, he's... Best 22 is versatile and heart and soul, and without him, we don't win the games we have. Without him going into the ruck and playing positions he probably shouldn't be.
Paddy Dow, let's keep this one to a minimum because I know we'll talk about him later.
I'm going to say clap because I think he's done everything he can do. It's not his fault he hasn't been selected. He's had the one game. He came in. He performed reasonably well. He's doing everything he can in the twos.
We will be talking about him later.
All right, next one.
No, we don't have to. Jesse Motlop.
Well, we'll go clap. Yep. More than what we expected.
Yeah.
At this stage.
Lockie O'Brien. This will be an interesting one.
I'll go clap.
I'm going to go clap as well.
Yeah. He's coming to the team and he provides something that...
Needs to make a bit of a step up.
He's got this year to really prove himself as an AFL football, but I'll go clap, particularly in light of previous years.
Adam Chera.
Clap. I think we knew what we were getting and I think we've got it.
I think he's exceeded expectations. He's averaging 25 touches a game, 10 contested, almost 5 clearances, and disposal efficiency of 75%. I think his average disposals last year at Fremantle was about 18. So huge step up.
Yep.
Is exactly what
he's
we wanted.
He's developed his game, hasn't he?
Certainly
from the
has.
Fremantle days.
Zach Williams. And I know we've got a bit of a difference between this one. So you can give him a clip or a clap.
I'm going to give him a clip, but are we talking about him later or can I actually express my thoughts?
We don't need... We can talk about him now so we don't have to talk about him later. I'm going to give him a...
What are you giving him?
I'm going to give him a clap. And I think you're unfair and I think you've been unfair from the get-go about Zach Williams.
Feel free to unload. This is your opportunity now.
You're the one who needs to unload because I'm clapping him. I think you've had an unrealistic expectation about him from the day we got him. You're clouded by the fact that we're paying too much for him, which isn't a bad kind of way to measure him, I suppose. But I think you're very tough on him. And I think he's had a decent season. but you tell me.
We agree on most things. This is one we've probably never really agreed from in turn, even including the acquisition. Not that I disagreed with the acquisition, but you knew more about him. You were a lot more bullish on him from the start than I was. I've not come around necessarily. And you talk about the money he's being paid. Yeah, that does cloud my judgment. Mm-hmm. I'll be up front and I'll be honest with that. It does. But, well, I mean, would it cloud your judgment if we were paying him $1.2 million? Would you have the same?
I totally agree.
It does make a difference, doesn't
it? I do agree with you. If we pick up Zach Williams as a, you know, we're paying him $200,000 a year, he's an absolute superstar.
He misses games through injury. Again, a lot of that's probably not his fault.
Yep.
We know he has rocked up unprepared in the past without going too much into the past, but these are all little factors there. There are a couple of things in his game I don't particularly like as well. Oh, do you really want me to
touch on? Yeah, we're talking.
I think he battles when the ball's in the air and he has to put his body or himself in harm's way.
Yep.
And I think we see sort of examples of that every week. And geez, I'm not criticizing because AFL players are a lot more courageous than I'll ever be, so I'll put that up front. But in terms of if we're comparing to AFL standard, I believe he does that, and that's not a Voss trait, and that's something that we've seen change this year, and I think it did infuriate Voss because I think that's been a big part of our shift and how we've improved. We are harder at the football, so a few things like that. His stats don't jump off the page, and you know,
I know you think a lot of his stats and I don't think you're incorrect in saying this. They're padded by the fact he takes the kick-ins, playing kick-ins.
He takes, yeah, exactly right. You know, so you're going to get some very easy kicks as a result of that, which makes his stats look a lot better. And there are a lot of 1-2s that he also gets. He gets the ball a bit easier than some other players in the team when it comes to that. Ball use is generally pretty good.
Yep.
He can turn it over. So, look, I'm not... This isn't a trash...
No, I know.
But... I'm going to give
you're clipping him though.
I'm giving him a big clip.
He's okay, I'll give him a clap. I'm a big fan of Zach Williams. I think, and I note what you say. I know that every team needs different players. He's a silkier kind of player. I think his ball use has been good. He does make mistakes. There are certain things.
High ball, since I've pointed out to you. Have you noticed yourself or not? Is that unfair for
me? I think that there are certain players that you expect certain things from. Everyone should have their head over the ball. I think there are times... Look, he's not an overhead mark. He's a skilled, silky player. He's one of those players like we talk about with, you know, some of those really, you know, outside players. Yeah. Like Ryan Houlihan, you know, I didn't expect that guy to be running back like Glenn Archer. I never expected him to get the Shinboner of the Year award. But I understand...
expect Corey Durden, but he does.
Well, I kind of do expect that from Corey Durden.
You do now, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of player he is. And I'm not saying Zach... I think Zach Williams is... All right, I think he tackles hard. And I've also seen a few good hits from him. So, yeah, look, I'm giving him a clap. But I've... Maybe I'm clouded because I've always kind of... I really wanted him to be something at Carlton. Like, I was a little bit maybe clouded by SPS, who I loved from the get-go and ended up disappointing me greatly. Which we'll touch on later. Matthew Kennedy, clip or clap?
Oh, clap, easily.
Clap.
I don't think we need to discuss that too much. Coming to the team, he adds, I mean, it makes sense. Michael Voss
likes him. Yep.
He's responded to him and he's playing very good football. And again,
silky skills.
And it's so good overhead. You know, we're just talking about the Zach Williams. In terms of overhead, putting your head over the ball and copping it. That's why he missed last week. Because he copped 3 or 4 corkies from doing exactly what were, you know, my criticisms may have been of Williams, but so strong overhead.
Yep.
He does kick goals. Big clap.
Lockie Fogarty. Clip.
Don't know where he is as a footballer at the moment.
Disappointing. Patrick Cripps.
Clap. How can you do anything other than, you know, he could be leading the Brownlow.
Should be leading the Brownlow.
So close enough. To it, he's working to his strengths. We know he's a contested beast or bull in the middle. Best part is, and it was our criticism, and it was absolutely due for the last 2.5 years, and it seems to have flicked and turned around. He's kicking set shot goals, and it makes a huge difference. I mean, what stats have you got them? Have you got any stats at all?
Yeah, I got some
goals?
Stats.
He must be close to 2 goals.
1.5 goals a game, so essentially, and I think he, and this is off the top of my head, I think it's 2.4. shots on goal a game.
And he was subbed out of the game early too, which clouds his figures a little bit that way. But he's making the most of his... When he goes forward, and we know he can take a mark up forward, but he's actually converting this time and getting maximum value and rewards.
Just quickly, 27.5 disposals a game, 73.4 disposal efficiency, 14.4 contested disposals a game, 3.3 centre clearances, and like you said, almost two goals a game. The big thing on Cripps was... We love Cripps. Everyone loves Cripps, but he needs to go forward and kick goals. He's absolutely doing that this year, which has just been a massive thing. Let's just quickly, very quickly touch on the fact that when Cripps was up for a contract negotiation, there were people arguing that we shouldn't maybe be playing that, and they were happy for Cripps to potentially go to West Coast or Fremantle to return home to Perth.
And a lot of people thought he was past his best.
I heard talk about... I mean, that's when we heard talk about Chera. We had
His body was stuffed, and you can't blame them. You know, looking in hindsight, that wasn't our thought. They weren't our thoughts.
No, they weren't.
Necessarily, but at the same time, I'm not being critical. I can't be critical of people who thought maybe his body was... shot for what they'd seen.
And I appreciate the fact that people thought we're often, you know, we've got a lot of talent on that list. We've got players like Walsh and all these players who are going to demand huge contracts down the track, and to offer Cripps that, I love it. He's come out and he showed he is, you know, he's the top five.
He is Carlton.
And he's the top five in the comp. He will win the Brownlow this year, but, you know, injuries aside, touching wood.
There's not much wood happening around here.
Touching cardboard. Oh, touch wood. Here we go.
There we go.
All right, so
Forget, that's him as a player. And we're looking at his stats. We're looking, what about his leadership as well?
He's fantastic.
He carries the club on the field. He's doing it solo now with Doc having stood down and the issues he's had there. It's a massive burden to carry being captain of a Carlton Football Club. He's carried that. He's been through some shitty years. You know, we look back now and go, he played last year with a broken back.
Yep.
Put his hand up, went out there, and play. I think come the end of this guy's career, we are going to have even more of a fondness to him than we do throughout his playing days.
Yep.
Now, and you say everybody loves Cripps. We do, they do, but I think we'll love him even more when we sort of reflect on his career. And is there anybody that loves Cripps more than you?
No one loves Cripps more than me. And just quick side note, I do love the fact that we did change up the leadership and we made a sole captain. I'm really big on that. Harry Mackay.
Clap. He's, you know, unfortunately injured, but prior to that, it's a clap, you know. I'll say he's performing well. Last year's Coleman medalist. He had kicked a lot of goals. It's a pity we don't have him there. Some games he could have had a bit more impact, but we know he hurt his knee. You know, what game was that? Was that the Freo game or one of the games there? He was carrying something there. So,
yeah,
I'm giving him a clap.
Yeah, I'll give him a clap. Mitch McGovern. I mean, it's a bit rough, isn't
it? Well, I don't think we can do this. I think it's probably unfair in terms of this year.
Can we clip him for being injury prone?
I think career-wise, we can maybe assess it.
We expected big things. He's injured. He's out for... We'll talk about the injury list a bit later. He's out for another couple of months. I think he showed some real promise. We're hurting in the back line.
It's a pity because he started the year so well. There was a position for him. He trained for it, set it up as a niche position, and executed it really well for the limited time he played there. And then, alas, you know, lightning strikes twice, three times, four times, five times. Same thing happened. We'll discuss him later.
Tom DeConning.
Clap. It's been a tough year for him. And again, we're probably going to be clapping most of these players. We're 8-3.
Yep.
It's been a good season to date. Tom DeConning, he looked good early on. We know he missed some preseason and he just looked a little bit off it. I remember going to the Melbourne game, the practice match.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, he's going to fire. He's there. He's getting hands on. He's just dropping them, missing them. So it's been a bit of a just missed season so far. But in saying that, he's stood up well. He's carried the ruck load. I'm giving him a clap.
I'll give him a golf clap. Liam Stocker.
Clap. Again, hard. Had his injuries. Come back.
He hasn't done.
Yeah, what are you?
I wanted a huge year from him, but he's been, you know, you're right. He's had his injuries. I think he was really, not that it affected his game time. He got rubbed out for something which was absolute MRO bullshit. But he obviously got injured anyway. I think, I'm not going to, look.
Do we expect too much from Stocker?
Maybe.
Is that, have we set the bar a bit too high considering
He's just quite a famous name because he represents that draft where we really took the punt and we got him, I think. And I think that's... And we love Stocker. We do love him. Yeah,
exactly right. That's...
I want more out of him this year. I mean, I'm not criticizing his season, but I want more.
He's a halfback still trying to find his feet in a team that has, you know, a few halfbacks anyway. He grew, you know, midfield originally. Although I think sometimes we have higher expectations.
Yeah, I want more.
For him, but...
I want more. Okay, so Liam Jones is still on this list. All I want to preface this by saying, I absolutely loved Liam Jones and I'm gutted. So we'll leave it at that. Sam Doherty.
He brought you to tears.
I know.
And you can be brought to tears in strange circumstances. But it was an interview when he just turned the corner going back years ago. He brought you to tears. From then you loved the man and he's let you down, hasn't he?
He's let me down. You know, we found out about... We won't talk about Jones too much, but we found out very late where we probably couldn't adjust to it as well as we'd liked, and we're going to go through our
from a team line. Point of view, he let us down.
Yeah.
It was late. We couldn't replace him. We couldn't recover. And everyone can have their
did
thoughts.
Did you say that there was some sort of talk that essentially that he's not going to be coming back to the club?
He's not coming back to Carlton. No. That's for sure. His name has floated. That was shot down pretty quickly by Michael Voss, which
Has he expressed any interest to come back?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I think he has. Yeah. I think he has, and I'm sure he'll be playing AFL. We know what player he is. He's wiry, he's rangy.
It'll hurt to see him play for another team, considering we gave him the we persevered with him and redefined his career.
We turned him into a footballer, and we were very patient with it. He'll go somewhere else, but it won't be at Carlton. Voss was very clear. I don't know. There must have been some stuff in the background, obviously, that's private and kept off the record in terms of the disappointment from you know, the football department and how he went about it, because it was a very emphatic, no, we're not having him back. Thanks. He's a former player now.
Complete change of script here to Sam Doherty.
Clap. I mean, clap. We'll go. We'll touch on him later. I'm going to get this one simple. Clap.
Yep. Jack Carroll.
Clap.
Brody Kemp.
Clip.
He's
and again, it's just hard. He feels like he was one of the few on the list that might have regressed a little. And again, what standards did we have? What expectations did we have? But
He seemed off the mark when I've seen him, and that's something he'll develop.
He performed admirably. It was a GWS game. He was off the mark. He was a fair way off the pace in the first half.
Yep.
He had a better second half in a role that wasn't suited to him.
Are you concerned about him at all for the future?
I am a little bit, in terms of the draft pick we gave up. I'm just not quite sure what the weapons are.
Yeah,
he's undersized for a key position player. He's potentially, you know, a bit slow for anything other than key position.
Yeah.
Clearly, he's got talent. It's just we haven't really had the chance to see that too much.
I agree. I just don't know where he sits, and don't know where he sits in the top 22 at this stage.
He's got that dangerous utility tag. It's not a good one. You don't want to be listed as a utility.
Utilities 93. Utilities 93. That's I don't like it. And you know what? You're right. He's too slow and kind of not big enough at this stage to be a key position. So. Kind of watch his space.
He's still young.
Yeah, he's still young.
So we'll wait and see, hopefully. But in terms of so far, he's one of the few that hasn't progressed.
Sam Walsh.
Clap.
Say no more. 32 touches a game. Only thing I'd...
Slow start to the year because of injury, but came back so quickly and obviously powered through an uncomfortable foot. Yep. Played a different role to accommodate his return. Played forward, kicks, goals. The Warrior. We love the Warrior and... Not much more to say.
Needs to kick more goals. Corey Durden.
Clap. I love what he brings. Love what he brings. And, you know, this stage of his career, he's doing well. We cried out for a small forward for so long. We finally found that true small forward.
I'll give him a clap. Lockie Plowman. Whipping boy.
We can just never get this one right, can we?
It's funny. I forget which game I was watching.
I'm going clap.
Yeah, I'm going to give him...
Soft clap.
It's really funny. Just quickly, I was watching a game and I saw a few really good things, and in the Carlton group chat, everyone was going bananas. I can't work him out. I think people have preconceived ideas, a little bit like you with Zach Williams, and I think it's a bit unfair. Jack Martin.
Clip. Yeah. No, we again, expect more. You can't get the body right.
Again, and is that tag... affecting you, that big dollar tag.
So how's he different from your point of view?
Willis? But he's not. I'm not talking about the dollar tag. It does. I'm saying it does make an impact. It does influence.
It does.
But he's not playing good football.
Yeah.
And look,
he hasn't for all.
He did play his best game.
Yes. Yes. So let's not. We're saying a clip. We'll say a clip over the whole. He has played some reasonable footy this year, though.
And we're saying if Jack Martin, he comes in for the sub for Wiedering as opposed to Carroll, I think the Collingwood game's a lot different.
And I think that's a hindsight.
I love Jack Martin, and I forget which game it was. I wish we had written that down, but he was great. And it just shows what he can do. He's one of those players that can be low disposal but high impact. Caleb Marchbank obviously hasn't played.
Fingers crossed. We need him back. We don't just want him back. We need him back now.
Jacob Wiedering's been tremendous. All Australian. 6 weeks shoulder.
Devastating.
Wiedering. And fantastic seam vice captain. I think he has a really quiet demeanour, which watching certain things, it's changed my opinion. He's really got a leadership and a bit of a nasty streak, but a bit of grunt.
I don't know what the word is. He's got some white line fever. He's not necessarily the shy, nice guy that we kind of thought on the field. I think he's a little bit louder, a little bit more vocal on the field. And you know what the best part about it is he hurts when we lose.
Yeah.
And he won't cop losing one-on-ones, and he won't cop, behaviour that's not, befitting to winning games of football.
Nick Newman, I think he's a clap.
Clap. Yep. I love him as a clap. Herald Sun had him as the one player that needs to, stand up. He's gone backwards this year. That's bullshit. He's played out of position a little bit because we've had to.
He'll always do dumb things, but I like a couple.
Yeah, I'm giving him a clap.
Zach Fisher, I'm giving a clap because I think he's put together some good games.
He was heading for a clip,
and he's become more than a one-dimensional player.
He has, and that's our queries were there. Zach Fisher again. He is a bit of an enigma player from what we've how we've considered him, how we've viewed him in the past. The start of the season was slow. He has built into it, and we're seeing things from him which we haven't for a long time, which we saw in his first year or two when he was just a kid, and we were hoping would come to the fore a lot more than they had.
Luke Parks obviously hasn't had a great run at his injured. That. Mark Pittenett.
We've got to give him a clap for his what he's never going to the world's best ruckman. We know that, but a good, solid B-plus ruckman.
And I think losing him shows how much it's hurt
that's
us.
Exactly so that's right.
Represents his value to the team. Dave Cunningham, he's a bit like Marchbank. Are we ever going to get a good run with that guy? Can't clip or clap him. George Hewitt,
massive
round of applause.
Massive clap. There was a great piece of recruitment. Yeah. From the start, we called it that way. We needed to have a two-way, hard-running midfielder, considering our midfields of the past 15, 20 years.
30 disposals a game, 14 contested, 4.4 centre clearances with an 80% disposal efficiency.
Uses it incredibly well. Big bottom.
And not even surprised. We kind of knew that. I think anyone who comes from Sydney, those numbers,
30?
Of course. But you never get someone from Sydney that's going to disappoint.
No.
They breed. It's a good culture. They're good players.
I think he's brought everything we're expecting and hoping for,
but
on steroids. He's just, with increased numbers from what we thought we were going to get.
Big clap. Charlie Curnow, big clap.
Big clap.
37 goals for the year. As of before the start of this was leading the Coleman. Obviously, Jeremy
After
Cameron.
11 rounds, was leading the
Cameron, Coleman. I think, is up by one, but he's played one more game. And Charlie has been tremendous.
Particularly given the fact that Mackay's gone down and he's having to fight against two or three defenders.
And kicking big goals.
And he's making the most of his opportunities. And what was it? A GWS game. He was underdone a little bit. He was getting manhandled. He just kept bringing the ball down.
Yep.
When he was outnumbered, he kept bringing the ball down. And I think he may have got some late reward in that game, but that wasn't the important fact. He was drawing defenders, and instead of conceding and instead of the ball coming out of our forward 50, our smalls are able to crump and take advantage of it. So, massive clap.
He fights hard. Look, not that anyone's asked us, if between Curnow and Mackay... I'm a Curnow man.
I'll ask Andy, Curnow or Mackay?
Curnow. Curnow's just such a rare...
something to him,
just
isn't
a rare talent. A real ex... Harry's a gun. Yeah. Harry's a Coleman medalist.
Curnow's a freak.
Curnow's a freak.
There is something to him.
Tom Williamson.
We've got to go clip.
Clip.
I haven't seen him at senior level.
No. Jack Nunes.
I'm going to give a clip. It's probably an unfair for what he's presented. But
he's kind of done. Voss, you know, must like him.
He must be doing a lot of things right. And we're talking and we're seeing Voss's praises. We're saying we haven't talked about selection once yet, which is what all we were talking about previous years.
Yep.
So if we're backing in his selection, we've got to be backing. He's doing something right to be getting picked. He put in a couple of games that were reasonable. The Collingwood game, he lost me again. Just the amount of turnovers and fumbles there, which, you know, they're very, very costly. But he must be doing something that we don't necessarily see, but I'm going to give him a clip.
And I think it's more the fact that there's probably not many players. We've got a lot of players in the twos that are coming through, but not many that can take probably Jack Noons' role. Number 33, Lewis Young, who we...
Big clap.
Big clap. We got for pick number 52 in exchange for Sam Petrescu-Seaton, who... I think that's just a tremendous trade.
It is very, and it's not just a hindsight trade that we look at it now. You know, we were dirty, let's be honest. But we only got 52 for SPS. We thought that was undervalued, even though we had a fair criticism of SPS and we didn't value him a whole lot higher than that. We thought 52s was unders, and we thought we'd been
jibbed
a little bit. You turn that into Lewis Young, again, another player who we probably didn't know a whole lot about, having been on the Bulldogs list, but made a lot of sense on paper in terms of our list, even more so once we found out Liam Jones wasn't going to play. But he's coming to the team, and he's usurped my expectations, that's for sure. Again, probably had to do more than what we were hoping or planning for him to do, but he comes in, he halves the contest, he gets a fist on it, he uses it pretty well as well. And the best part about it is he's a good-looking man, and he looks...
Sorry?
He's a good-looking man, and he's got that very sort of soft look about him, but...
Unassuming.
He plays a lot tougher and a lot harder than I thought we were going to get, and he's got a bit of mongrel.
Seems like you could have gone on for a lot longer. Let's quickly wrap this up. Sam Filt, clip.
Clip, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's reasons there, but hasn't had a game. So, yep.
Ed Curnow hasn't played this year. We love Ed Curnow.
I'm giving him a clap still.
I'll give him a clap. Curnow. Still injured. Josh Honey.
Ken can't assess that one.
Jordan Boyd.
Give him a clap. I mean, he hasn't done a whole lot wrong. He's been thereabouts, and we know he's a depth player.
He's not a 22.
In reality.
No.
But unfortunately, I think his last game was his best game, and he got dropped.
Oscar McDonald.
Can't assess. Can't assess. And,
obviously... Dominic Huey, we can't. Adam Sard's been great. He's a massive clap for me.
Massive clap.
Vacuum hands, as you call him.
Vacuum hands. He just sucks everything up.
He's tremendous.
Everything sucks into his hands.
It's pretty hard. Do you know what? It's a great team when you got players like Sard and Curnow. It's an excitement. Love watching Carlton.
Think about Sard and Doherty. We've potentially got two All-Australian halfback flanks on the list. Sard gets... It's popular to diss him, and I think not for Carlton supporters, but from anybody else, we gave up too much.
No, so we didn't.
He gets measured. That's what I mean. He gets measured against unfair standards, and either way, he's outperformed it.
We didn't. We absolutely didn't. We didn't give enough.
The popular opinion is we gave too much, and therefore he gets assessed on that. And it's very easy to leave him out of all Australian discussions. Not give him votes. He'd be very close to leading the Carlton BNF.
Will Setterfield's a clip.
A massive clip.
I can't see him.
Not unsurprising.
Not unsurprising. Matt Owies.
Give him a clap.
Needs to kick more goals, but he's tackling pressure.
I think the most tackles in the forward 50 of anyone in the competition.
I'd say that'd be... I know that was right a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure if that's still the case. He's a tackling machine. It was good in the last couple of weeks to see him rewarded with goals. I'd love to see him kick more goals.
He's one. He gets limited supply to some degree. He's got a very clear role what he needs to do. If he converts, he stays in the team. He stops converting, misses.
We've seen him stay in the team.
He'll always be borderline. Goals, with that.
Yeah. We've seen him stay in the
team. He'll be borderline though, but...
He must be someone Voss loves because... I mean, obviously a tough player.
Doesn't sound like you.
Murkoff.
Love him that way.
What do you mean?
That much.
Who?
Always.
Who doesn't love him that much?
You.
I love Always. I think
that's a little critical.
What do you mean? I think that he stays in the team. Oh, no, I think that's a...
that's a positive comment. I'm saying he doesn't kick goals and he stays in the team because they value his pressure and his toughness at the ball. No, I'm a big Owies fan. I'm a really big Owies fan. And I kind of tend to agree that sometimes there are more important things than kicking goals as a small forward, particularly when we've got the firing power that we do, and Owies plays a really good part. Alex Murkoff can't do, he's injured, but hasn't played anyway. And Matthew Cottrell is the last one. So let's wrap up clip and clap.
I'll give him a clap. He's played more games than I thought he would.
Mm.
Again, Voss must see a lot in him. He must respond well. I thought his first half against Collingwood was excellent. The best football he has played for the Blues. Disappeared in the second half, which is surprising for a bloke who's probably the fittest at the club. But yeah, little clap.
All right, that's clip and clap. I think that's fairly indicative of an 8-3 team that we have most people to clap. And I think even the players we clip, it's more not necessarily that we're... it's an expectation thing. And I think we want to see players improve and take that next step. And I think for some of them it's possible, for some it's not going
to
happen.
It'd be boring if we clapped everybody.
Very boring.
Clipped everybody, and there's got to be a standard to provide that context.
Yep.
There. So looking at who for you has impressed you most this year? Think about, you know, before the season started and what your expectations were, what you thought. What player has impressed you the most?
Ooh. I'm going to go with Cripps.
Cripper?
Yep, I am, because it has been a couple of years of a football that, by his standards, hasn't been great. He's trained hard, he's got back into it, and he's just shown exactly the kind of player he is.
I think the good part is we've probably got a few we could choose from. Which is great.
You're saying that I'm throwing in Hewitt and
I thought you might have been a Kerno man for what he's done.
Might come later.
As well. But who's impressed the most? I am going Sam Doherty.
Yep.
He might come up a bit later as well. Just we didn't want to talk about him too much early in clip or clap, but what a sensational season, what an effort, what a man. The superlatives, we sit here all day dishing them out. Incredible, incredible. I thought he might come back and play football this year, but that was never a guarantee. To start to play from round one and to play such good football from round one through to round 11 is just insane. To think the ordeal he's gone through, the treatment that he was getting. You know, when you look back at some of those images of him, the photos of him, you're like, there's no way that bloke's playing in the first half of the season. He's skin and bones. So he's come back into the team, and that has been my most impressed with that, without a doubt.
Yep.
What are we most impressed? Can we do a who's depressed?
Who's depressed?
For you?
That's a tough one.
In terms of the expectations you had, what you thought they'd deliver and what they have. Could be a big player, player.
McGovern. And it's a bit of a tough one because he's been injured, but I really wanted a good year from him. And, you know, he's been just kind of that player that I've thought that he's got the talent and he can do it. I thought he looked good when he, in the preseason, he got himself fit. So I'm depressed, not through much fault of his own, but there was a lot of promise, put it that way, and I think he looked good when he played, but you know, he's injured again. He's depressed me.
A lame target you've picked out there, pardon the pun.
What I say?
No, just an injured player.
But lame, but do you know what? It's depressing because he's always injured.
Yeah, no, that's so fine. Go with it.
I'm not blaming him.
Can you?
I'm not gonna yell at him down the street for being injured, but I was really looking forward to, and it was critical, I think, for our backline losing Jones, and I'm just depressed. I'm depressed.
And I don't disagree with you whatsoever. Who do you reckon mine might be?
Zach Williams.
Yeah, I think we'll keep it at that. What about for you, the surprise player of the year?
The surprise player of the year for me is Charlie Kerno.
So yeah, yep.
Charlie, I just think.
And why is that?
I'm surprised that, and pleasantly surprised. I'm not surprised being a jerk. I'm so glad to see that he's played every game this year. It's always, I'm sorry, you know what it's like watching Kerno. Sometimes you just, your heart's in your mouth when you watch him go up for the ball. You just do not want him to get injured.
He's too important.
So he's played every single game. We then lose Mackay quite early in the season. And I thought, Kerno still is coming back into it.
He's going to get double teamed. You know, he's going to become the focal point, and I think he was doing really well easing back into it with Mackay. But to his credit, as we discussed, you know, the GWS game, he works hard. He's kicking bags. He was leading the Coleman, and I think he can't do any more than what he's doing.
He's leading the Coleman. Let's be fair. He's a game under. He was leading it after tied games. That way, I think it's hard to go past Charlie Kerno for all the reasons you've mentioned there. I'd probably throw in, I mean, Doherty could easily be here for this nomination. I think Lewis Young, for me, I was expecting reasonably big things from him. You know, right fit, right role. He has probably impressed me beyond what I was expecting of him from the start of this year.
Yeah, that's a really good one. So what's your highlight of the year?
I'm going my man again, Doc. Doc's goal against Richmond, has it been a better moment in football for the last however many years?
Amazing.
Particularly Carlton moment in football. Not only is he out there for round one after everything he's overcome, gets set up, where was he? Probably 45, 50, 50 out. That stage.
Beautiful camera angle as well.
Perfect camera angle, massive crowd. He's come back. He goes back. Doesn't get too many opportunities, Doc, to kick a goal.
Yep.
Gets the opportunity on his return game. Slots it. The emotion from the players. Teared up. No doubt about it. Yep. I teared up. That was the most special moment for me. It's beyond. It's more than football. It's more than football when you see stuff like that.
I'm going to agree with you in terms of, I'm going to encapsulate the whole Richmond game. Being at that game, it was an atmosphere that I haven't experienced for a long time. That's to do with COVID. That's to do with Carlton. But it was just an amazing atmosphere. The Doc goal, the win, watching Richmond supporters leave very early in the fourth. Oh,
did they leave early?
They left very early.
A lot of recent
very
success.
Early in the fourth. So I've never, it was just electric that night. And that is definitely the highlight of the year for me.
That's the catalyst for this season, isn't it? And, you know, we're talking earlier about, you know, awakening the dragon. It might have been woken there.
So let's talk on some...
Go from positives to negatives.
Well, let's talk about the future now, because we're now going to look at the second half of the year. So let's talk about the injuries we've got. Yep. I mean, and that's going to cover what we've dealt with as well. So I'll just quickly run through the injury list as it is.
Please do, and deliver some good news.
Do we have 20 minutes for me to go through this list?
It's already dragged on a little bit. This podcast is going to go a lot longer now.
Ed Kerno, knee, 2 to 4 weeks. He hasn't played. Zach Williams, calf, 8 to 10 weeks. We thought it might have been Achilles. Jack Martin, calf is a test. Mitch McGovern, hamstring, 6 to 8 weeks. Caleb Marchbank, knee, a week after playing in the twos, which was looking good. Mark Pitnett, knee, 5 to 7 weeks. Oscar McDonald, back the season. Harry Mackay, knee, 3 weeks.
And that's his back, not back. He's going to be back.
He's not back.
Yeah.
No.
It's a back injury. He's not back for season.
No, he's not back for the season. He's out for the season with a back. Harry Mackay, knee, 3 weeks. I think I just said that. Matthew Kennedy, quad, 1 week. Jacob Wiedering, shoulder, 6 weeks. Let's hope that is about right. Dave Cunningham, knee, not confirmed the time. They've confirmed it's his knee. Luke Parks, foot, 9 weeks. And Murkov, ankle, 1 to 2 weeks. So
we get Kennedy back immediately.
Jack Martin. Jack Martin.
And Martin will be ready, and as he was supposedly as well. The buys come at a good time for us to reassess and to, you know, some of those longer-term injuries to knock a week off them, but there's not a whole lot coming back immediately besides or outside those. And we know we've got our challenges with big men, and the irony is we had this discussion. Was it last year or the season before even?
Mm.
And we were talking, we get injuries and we know that we've been unlucky. A lot of clubs get injuries. We seem to be probably on the higher end of the injury list, but in particular with our key, you know, players, our taller players. There, I remember the stat, we went through our list, it was one round, and we had 30% of our tall players available for selection.
Yep.
1 or 2 years ago, you know, the same thing. We're in the same situation right now. We cannot get our tall players on the park. It's going to hurt us. It definitely is going to. We've been brave.
Yeah.
There does come.
There'll be a lull.
A tipping point, but we're not necessarily. Marchbank's the one that we desperately need to come back, and he can be a saviour in that position. You know, in the defensive, key defensive stocks if he does get up, but you've got to, you tread with some caution when it comes to talking about Caleb Marchbank and being, you know, a bit of a saviour in your team, or, you know, getting more than one or two games together. I mean, yeah, we've been hit.
Yeah,
we can't hide that.
No, we've been hit more than
most. It's not being pessimistic. It's not being. It's a bad injury list to have.
And a lot of non-Carlton will say that it's an excuse. We've got a Coleman medalist out. We've got
a number one ruck. We've got
number one. Essentially, our back line's been decimated. We've had only one player in the whole AFL has left because of COVID, and we had that. Who was a great player? Who was, you know, those two was a great partner in
cusp
crime
of all Australian Liam Jones last year.
Weedering. We've struggled with injuries this year. It will hurt us mid-season. I anticipate that we'll lose a couple of games, but I'd prefer it at this stage of the season, and we can come into, hopefully, finals with a much fuller team.
A lot of calves and a lot of players returning from injuries, getting re-injured and soft tissue injuries. Are we going to delve any further into that? And we have discussed Russell in the past.
Yep.
My questions still remain to some degree in terms of the outlay and the money we're spending on somebody supposedly best in the business. We know Mitch McGovern is an injury-prone player, but to come back from an initial injury and do an injury twice as bad.
I think Zach Williams
is a big
one.
Zach Williams as well, another one. We know Jack Martin and his calves.
Fisher with his ankle a couple of years ago.
I just don't see, you know, these improving. We were surprised that Walsh came back so quickly. Maybe that's credit to him and Jude there. I agree with you.
And I'll be
drinking the Kool-Aid. Completely.
And I'll be devil's advocate just quickly. And you touched on it. Walsh, Cripps, Kerno hasn't missed a game. Touch wood. And, you know, there's been a couple of kind of success stories, but you're right. It's hard to evaluate. And when they're talking about this guy's the best fitness coach in the year, in the league, and what we're paying him, and considering our injury list that we just went through, I'm sure we have to question it.
We have to question it. And unfortunately, we don't have access to all the information. It's very hard for us from the outer to make an assessment, but I think we can still question the value there. Considering you see a lot of other clubs that have injury lists, not even half of what we have, and consistently at that level. You know, they're all playing the same game. They're all playing the same sport. They're all getting the same contact.
So we talk about there's obviously, we've got the depth this year, but we've got a massive shortage in our defensive players, particularly the key.
Just recently, I mean, if we're talking about the mid-season draft, it probably couldn't have come at a better time for us with Weedering.
So we pick up Sam Durden, who was drafted very high with Kangaroos, who was recently this year been playing in the SANFL and apparently playing very good footy. Can't lie and pretend that I've been keeping a close eye on the SANFL. But he seems like the kind of player that
makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense, and thank God for the mid-season draft. That's all I can say.
And we've used this pick for the purpose and the intent of what the mid-season, you know, rookie draft was meant to be about. It was to patch holes in your list for the second half of the season. We all know that it's been used more as a mechanism to pick up overlooked young talent to set them up, which we've also been involved with there. But this is the mid-season rookie draft in its purest form. We have selected the best key position defender in the country for our pick.
Yep.
So, and we didn't have a high pick. Previous years, we would have had a high pick there, but we have gone most talented, best fit to slide straight in to cover.
Yeah, 25 years old.
25 years old, 199 centimetres. I'd imagine, I don't know weight, but 98. He's a solid. He's a solid 25-year-old, former high draft pick, playing good football in what is a good level of football. The SANFL is a good competition.
And we'll
have two Durdens, which will confuse BT considerably. You won't know what
to do
with
himself. I think
he's
confused anyway. Will Hayes,
Sam Durden, I think, will play a lot of games. He might play every game for the rest.
Yeah.
Close enough to every game for the rest.
Yeah, he possibly will. So good luck to him. Will Hayes, we also picked up, who, I love the quotes from both those players. They seem really excited and really grateful to be given the second opportunity to football. I really like the sound of Will Hayes. I think we've got a lot of players like that. I don't know if necessarily he's going to be that kind of smaller wing, half forward kind of player.
It's interesting. A lot of clubs passed on their second selection when it was available. We've gone Will Hayes. And to me, that suggests probably two key points. That we're keen to reward players that we invite down to play and to train.
Exactly.
He was there as a potential SPP player at the start of the year amongst a few other players. Nobody got upgraded at that stage, or no one got selected as a rookie at that stage. We've hit the mid-year draft. He's played some really good football in the VFL, averaging great numbers there. I think is as much as a show, you know, reward the effort for what's been there to encourage further players next year when you invite players down to train or to come to your VFL team, that there is an opportunity and there is a pathway there. Secondly, I think it suggests that we're not sold, and I don't believe you or I are either, on our wings as they presently stand. And that is an area we might have the numbers who can play there, who have been trialled through there, but I don't think we have the quality. And I think here's an opportunity saying, we're keen, we're fair dinkum this year to make the finals and to go as far as we can. We're going to commit. Worst thing happens, 6 months' time, he goes back to the VFL. So we've got an opportunity there. But I think what that means is they view him in the same category of potentially ahead of your O'Brien, your Cottrell, your Noons. And I think that's what they're looking at. And he will probably get an opportunity.
Oh, let's hope he does get an opportunity. So. Let's segue that into the VFL, because when you've got players that are playing in the VFL and they have the opportunity and believe that they may have the opportunity down the track to be elevated to the seniors, I think the players probably play a lot harder. And look at the VFL. I've always said that your AFL is only as good as your VFL. It's always relative, isn't it?
Yep.
And when we've been poor, our VFL's been
average.
Poor. We're now 6 wins and 3 losses, so we're 6th on the ladder out of 21.
Yeah, so it's a much bigger competition. Comp. 21 competitions, 6 out of 21. So what, 6 wins, 3 losses. We're going at, what does that make, a 66%. We dropped one that you never drop against Frankston. Like, so very, very easily could it be, or should be, 7-2. So pretty good form. They're playing well. And we know, we've talked about the injuries to the Carlton list. That affects the VFL.
Oh, massively.
Yeah. So the team's performing. Those who are playing, those Carlton players that are getting a game, and also the recruitment and the, you know, not the top-up players because they're not, but the non-Carlton players, they're playing good football, which is exactly what we need to put some pressure on.
I think we've got the leading goal kicker Crocker, who's kicked the most.
So that's great. It's exciting stuff. Again, that Frankston loss was...
Yeah.
You don't expect better. It's great to see they're performing well. They're putting pressure on. That's where the Dow thing comes into it. The guy's averaging 30... possessions, a couple of goals a game. And that's what he needs to do.
Yep.
We want players like that. He's clearly at this stage, and I think with fair reason, behind that star-studded midfield that we've mentioned.
Yep.
But they have been injured.
Kennedy is his worst nightmare at the moment.
Yep. And that's exactly right. And then they're good mates too.
But you want that. You want competitiveness. And touching on what we talked about last year, there were players for Carlton in years gone by, including last year, that did not deserve to be playing for Carlton, or they weren't playing the football that was required when they should have been getting dropped. They weren't getting dropped, or they were getting dropped for 1 week. Voss is making them earn their spot in the twos, which we can afford to do with the depth. We can afford to do with, I think Voss is a bit of a tougher character compared to Teague in that respect. And I think players... They're earning their spot.
Yep. Which we haven't seen.
And a few players last year that were playing on Carlton's list would not have got a game on AFL under Voss. I know you've got a Bradley Pitts for us. Chris, so give us a quick one about what's giving you the Bradley Pitts.
This is a big one, and this is all-encompassing, but it's the AFLW competition, to a lesser extent, the Carlton Football Club women's team, but it's this one's squarely aimed at the AFLW. A product which the Carlton Football Club has helped develop, bought into from day one, invested, supported, brought all this hope, did it so well, to then be smacked in the face with expansion and penalised for the fact that these teams have come in who weren't sold, didn't buy in, have come in, you know, the last minute, Johnny on the spots now because they've seen what on, you know, riding the coattails of those who were legitimately invested in women's sport. And we're now left in a situation where we've got very limited players. It's very hard to follow from anybody with any passion. You follow the jumper, not the players, but so many of those players have walked out. We've got very little compensation for those players. I'm at the point where I don't really care. And it hurts me to say that. And I think the AFLW have really mucked this up. The competition, the AFL, have really mucked this up. It's about loyalty. We still support the colours. We still support the logos. It's not about the players, but you lose those players and there is no team. And the fans question the loyalty. Why should they commit? Why should they go? Why should they support? Why should they invest? It's a skeleton team we're going to have this year. That's all separate to the way Carlton have handled it, Daniel Harford, the recruiting and the mixed messages there. But that's my Bradley Pitt. My Bradley Pitt really, at the end of the day, is that I don't have feel like I have any passion for the AFLW program at the moment. And I went to the first game and I have been a big supporter through and through, and it hurts me to say that.
Oh, well said, Chris. So let's kind of start wrapping things up, but we're talking about who's... I mean, this is a bit of a... I don't know if we actually should discuss this yet, actually.
I don't know. I'm looking at this, and this is one I
don't,
put down
I don't
on
like
the agenda.
This at the moment.
Just, we're at the halfway point of the year.
Yep.
We know there's 11 games, and the reality is there's going to be a list turnover.
I don't want to discuss it at this point.
We have to get rid of three players. We have to take three players at the draft. We know that.
Yep.
So it's a minimum. So there will be changes. I'm just looking at who they might be and who's got a bit of pressure on them.
I'm not going to talk pressure. I'm going to talk, I think Dow is a good chance of being traded or picked up next year because he'll want greater opportunity. I think Lachie O'Brien, if he doesn't, you know, really kind of stamp himself on the Carlton Football Club, he'll be one of those.
They've got to give him a year though, don't they?
Yeah.
Particularly the way he has played. They've got to give him a year.
I understand what you're saying. I don't love this question at the moment.
Perhaps we've got to look at it, and we won't go single anybody out, but there will be players that will be moved on at the end of the year. We know that.
But through form and through opportunity. And do you know what? If you're a good club, players like Dow, who's been killing it in the twos, he will seek opportunity elsewhere if he doesn't get a significant amount of games this year. Easy as that.
All right, you've nixed this section. You can answer the next one. The run home, where do we finish?
7th.
Yeah?
Yep.
Have you entered that into the ladder calculus? Is this
gut
feel?
Gut feel.
Is that where you...
Gut feel. I think we are going to lose some games that we should win during the year. We've got some really tough ones. Look, I'm going to go...
How many games get you in the 8? So you're saying we're in the 8. It's going to be 12 minimum, isn't it, I think, that gets you
into
the 8. Possibly
13, 14.
Yeah.
I think 14.
Yeah, so look, we've bagged the early wins, which is fortunate, which is great. We know we're at a holding pattern at the moment. The next 4 weeks are going to be tough, particularly until Wiedering comes back, Mackay comes back.
Yep.
Then it can turn. The good news is if we go sort of 50-50 on this run, we start getting those players back.
Yep.
And again, we've talked about how much of a threat we are. So I think the next 4 or 5 weeks are really pivotal.
And
it's not an easy run that we've
got. No, it's not. It's not. But look, I think Carlton, how we are right now is exactly how we've been playing our individual games. We've built up enough, like we built up those big scores. We're now at 8, where we've released that pressure valve a little bit, where we can afford to have a couple of losses. You know, we're not like previous years, 2-6, all this kind of stuff. You know, think about last year where... We're not going to make finals, but we're a chance if we beat North, the worst team in the comp, and they pants us.
And then by some
miracle, I think it was the next week, but hang on, Carlton could make if you beat, and we do.
Team lost.
We're not that anymore. We've set the benchmark. We can afford to lose a couple of games. It's going to be tough. You're right. I think if we can get players back in, I think we'll finish 7th or 8th on the ladder, and I think if we get players back in, we could be a really good shot at playing some good football in the finals.
If we have players injury free, if we make the 8 and come finals,
if we don't make the 8,
have a decent
is that a loss for the year?
It depends on how we do it. It'll really depend. The circumstances will depend.
If we finish 12th,
it will be a loss from here.
If we finish 12th, that's a huge disappointment.
It's a loss. And we've got our reasons, but no, sorry. When you get to this stage and we're talking
we finish 9th?
Again, probably depends exactly on the circumstances. We lose a couple more players.
We will be disappointed if we don't play finals.
Oh, but yeah, I'm certain. That's the expectation now. You go 8-3,
expectations
regardless
fine.
Of all
which
this
is funny,
adversity.
Because it's not like we've been knocking on the door for the last couple of years.
Absolutely not. How long has it been since we have played there? But at this position, at this stage of the season, we should. I mean, do we knock off Essendon next week?
We should, but...
I know we're down. Yeah. I know we're undermanned, but surely we do. Richmond, probably a different proposition if they're... you know, have got a pretty healthy
yep.
list. We get Fremantle at home. That will be a tough one because we know Fremantle are a good team and they play well as a team. We have then have St Kilda. So it's a tough run.
It's a really tough run.
You know, so I'm looking at going 1-3. If yep. we go 2-2 for the next four.
Keep going.
We're looking good. After that, what do we have? We've got the Eagles. Unfortunately, they only play once
yep.
this year, around 17. So that you think that's a win? You've got the Cats after that, and we've got them at home. So it won't be down GMHBA like it has been recently. We've got their measure. So if we get yep. a few of those players back by round 18,
yep.
who knows what happens there. We then have the Giants at home. You'd like to think
yep.
you win that one. Then round 20 rolls along. We've got Adelaide in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
Should win that one. We have Brisbane round 21. At, you know, away, mm-hmm. so up at the Gabba. We have, I think it's Melbourne after that, yes, and that will be at the MCG, which will be hopefully a ripping contest.
Yep.
And then to finish the season, we have Collingwood at home, which...
So, me being a 50-50 going towards emptier, I've just counted 14 wins.
Yep.
On top, yep.
So, you're looking at that...
Where I'm conceding games to Fremantle, conceding games to Melbourne, to Brisbane at the Gabba.
St Kilda.
I don't know. Geez, I don't know what if I...
But yeah.
I think I might have conceded that. I think 13, 14 wins is finals. 13, yep. 14. So, do you know what? It's going to be touch and go. But, do you know the other big thing? It's not about Carlton. Other teams are going to drop off exactly potentially right. with injuries. Yeah, yeah. So, a lot can happen.
And there's a good chance we'll sneak a couple of wins where yeah. we don't think we should, like we exactly. have so far this year.
Exactly.
Let's
right.
not write this team off. And we will hopefully get some players back, some reinforcement back. And fingers crossed, we don't lose too many other. And, you know, our injury issues at the start of the year, the mid-year, and we have a nice run home mm-hmm. with them. Because you'd look at the end of the year and go, yeah, you know what? That's not a bad result.
All right, Chris.
It's been good.
It's been fun. Hopefully we can do one.
Yeah. We'll be back. We'll just be a bit more irregular than yeah, we were. We sporadic. Can't commit to you know, week in, week out. We're a bit like
McGovern. We're not every week.
We'll deliver more than that.
We're like Marchbank. We'll be in for a bit and then out for a bit. Yeah.
Look, we'll do our best because we do love doing it. It is a labor of love. It is a commitment. Yeah. It's hard to do, but we do love it. And we appreciate all the DMs we get, all the messages, all the questions asking us how we're doing and whether we're coming back. Hopefully this will help explain that and keep your questions coming as well. Keep your feedback coming because it's largely why we do this because...
And we're planning on a bit of off-season stuff, aren't we?
Moved house. It wasn't to a mansion, was it? So it's not like we're getting paid for this. So it's...
It's a pretty nice place.
it is nice to be back, though. It's great to talk the Blues, and it's great to talk the Blues in a positive environment under positive circumstances, considering we started our podcast at probably a very average time. And,
yep.
you know, the monotony even then of doing week in, week out, the same sort of feedback, the same discussion points that they had. It's great to be talking completely differently.
And I'm glad we didn't start the podcast just when we're going well. We did start when we were at that really disappointing time. So it does feel good to, even though we can't do it every week, it does feel great that we're finally being rewarded and everyone else is being rewarded for Carlton. And I think a lot of people are up and about. But
so go the Blues.
Let's be cautious.
Yeah, go the Blues. No, don't be cautious. Get excited. Go the Blues. We're going to make finals, and who knows what can happen then.
All right, Chris.
All right, Andy. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
We are the Blue Baggers.